This episode of Arc Junkies is sponsored by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs, WeldDevils.com is your one-stop shop. WeldDevils.com, we are devils. From Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan, this is Arc Junkies. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 20 of Arc Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight. 20 episodes. We've absolutely hit a new landmark. That's 20 weeks. You've been hearing me just ramble on and interview different people that are in the welding community and welding industry and connecting everybody. And it's because of you guys that I keep doing this show. The response is absolutely overwhelming. So thank all of you that listen and download the show every single week. My computer is absolutely on the fritz. I have to get it taken in and completely cleaned out. It literally took an hour and a half just to stay at 100% completion for the updates that just happened out of nowhere. And at this point, it's 10:30 at night. I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And I had to get this done, though, and get this out for you guys, because this week's guest is Jason Hurst. You know him on Instagram as @worksbyahurst, and he is just an absolutely super creative and talented guy. Jason is, you've seen, I'm sure, if you follow him on Instagram, you've seen the laser engraving that he does on wood. He's also recently doing laser engraving on leather, and he's teaching himself TIG welding, all due to the great resources that we have on YouTube and the Instagram welding community, and how everybody really helps each other out. And if you're, it just shows that if you're willing to learn and willing to put in the work, that everybody on Instagram is really, I mean, for the most part, really willing to help you. And Jason is a total testimony of that. Like I said, super creative guy, super nice guy, and a brother of mine in TIG units. And you heard Jason, he's a return guest, actually. Normally, I don't have people return this quick, but we did the Star Wars episode, and we got all our geekdom out, and don't worry, no Star Wars on this episode, but everybody that I had on that Star Wars episode are extremely talented people, and I wanted to bring each one of them back individually to have their own episode to shine a little bit more light on what it is that they do in their day-to-day and how they were inspired to get into welding. So, like I said, this episode, or this intro has got to be a little bit short. It's super late for me, and I got to get up really early. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Hurst. I really wanted to talk to you again and invite you back on because you're, what I want to say is, a master of the side hustle. Like, you really have your game going on Instagram. You market yourself excellent. The videos you put out are absolutely hilarious, and it all sort of kind of correlates together with, you know, the all the side stuff you make, you know, the wood burning and the books that you make, and I mean all of the crafty stuff that you do, because you are extremely crafty. You're a very talented guy, and I do want to get into those things and kind of get into picking your brain on how you get inspired to do such things, and also touch on the fact that you're teaching yourself TIG welding, basically, since I think it was over the holidays it was that you got yourself a Everlast TIG welder?
Yes, my family, my mother and stepfather, were nice enough to invest in my craftiness, as you put it, and so they helped me purchase an Everlast TIG welder. Yeah.
So how's that going? I mean, teaching yourself, because TIG welding is not something that's easy. You know, I mean, yes, a lot of people can do it, but teaching yourself, I mean, you're kind of coming at it from a whole other level, and I want to kind of pick your brain on what you're using to sort of teach yourself. What references? Is it just stuff that you've learned from being a welder, or are you going online and checking out videos or getting tips and tricks from, say, Welding Tips and Tricks, or how is that working?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't start out of the gate with a TIG welder. Get yourself a stick or a MIG machine, which I've got 8 years on a MIG, which, you know, taught me how to watch the puddle, basic metal preparations. But when it comes to TIG welding, the internet, man, is such a huge resource. You can watch YouTube videos for weeks, mm-hmm. weeks of YouTube videos, and you can really pick up some solid. It'd be almost like sitting in a classroom with a professor watching a good YouTube video.
Yep.
And then of course I've power listened to all of the Welding Tips and Tricks podcast. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's, there's a lot of secrets as far as machine setup in there. And then reach out to people. If you are, I've said it before at other times on my Instagram feed, if you're open and honest and humble and you reach out to these really good welders and you ask genuine questions, they will help you. The community on Instagram is wonderful and they will help you.
You've been able to advance your skill by tapping into these resources and asking the questions, as you're saying, and you're finding out that, you know, it is more or less the university of YouTube, as I've said so many times before, because the thing that I really do love about the Welding Tips and Tricks podcast, and I've said this over and over, is it is a master class every single week. And the fact that you have those three guys that really know what they're talking about and doing, that have the podcast that kind of goes hand in hand with the videos that they put out, you know, showing different techniques or explaining different things, it really can open your eye and more or less get you out of the bubble of, say, if you're stuck doing one process for so long. You know, these avenues are out there and available for you, and you're a testament that it works. It 100% works, because I'm seeing what you're laying down, and it's not crap. I mean, you're laying down some good stuff, and you're really figuring out what every little setting on that machine means.
Well, thank you. I'm definitely a product of the Instagram welding community, because I had never touched a TIG welder ever until I think it was, you know, like December 20th or December 18th. I had never touched one. So all of the knowledge I've gotten when it comes to TIG welding is I've got a book about it, but for the most part, it's through the wonderful community we've got. And then of course the University of YouTube.
Right. So what model Everlast are you using right now?
It's the 255 EXT. So it's the 255 amp or 250 amp inverter machine.
Okay. Right on. Very cool. I've been looking to either going the Everlast route or going the ESAB route. I'm a huge fan of ESAB, especially since FabTech. And they're roughly, around the same price. I mean, it's only a couple $100 difference between the two. So I'm about to flip a coin on which one I want to get, but I'm very, very impressed with what Everlast is doing and what they're putting out. You know, it's a hell of a bang for your buck, really.
Yes, I agree. I've been a Miller guy for the last 8 years. I've had my Miller-Matic 140, which is a normal hobbyist welder, and that thing hasn't set a foot wrong. It has not failed me in the slightest, and I've welded with it for 8 years. I wanted to get a Dynasty, but I couldn't afford, and my family couldn't afford to pull the trigger on a Dynasty. It's a Cadillac, and I can't start there.
Oh, hey, no way, man. I get it. Those are expensive machines. They're so nice, but they're very expensive.
Yeah. The Everlast was on sale. They had a huge sale going on over the Christmas season, and they knocked like $500 off this thing. And I,
nice.
You know, they mentioned getting a TIG welder, and I said, well, cause they don't have no knowledge of welding. I said, well, the Everlast, they're really affordable right now. So we all went in together and ended up with it. So.
Very cool. So let's get into some of your craftiness, man. I mean, these videos that you're putting out are absolutely hilarious. So I want to kind of tap your brain on, you know, what's the inspiration behind them? How do you get the idea to do each one of these videos? And I mean, they're all different, which is awesome, but the rate that you're putting them out, I mean, do you kind of sit down and do like a sketch diagram of what each scene's going to be, like a movie, or you just kind of wing it and go from there? Are the subjects just things you come across as you're welding, or how does it all kind of work?
I am not that organized when it comes to like, when I do my bigger YouTube videos that are very specific, like a beginner TIG video, that will be sort of written down. I need to cover these topics, X, Y, and Z. But for the small 60-second funny funny Instagram videos, no. I'll get an idea in my head when I'm welding. This will be funny, and I'll just shoot from the hip. I won't. I might do it. I might take two takes, but I don't want to spend an afternoon setting things up and getting everything right. You know, I want to hit it and quit it. I want to get it done in the can and produced quickly, you know.
Right on.
So I'm just a goofball.
Well, you're doing a great job, man. They're absolutely hilarious. They really, really are. And it, like I'm saying, man, it really does help out with the marketing of, like I said, you're a master of the side hustle. You know, you have these other things that you do because you are so crafty. And when you incorporate videos along with that, that really show who you are, you know, these people are not just buying your products. They're also buying you because they like you and they like what you put out there. And a little bit of you is in every single extra piece that you're making.
Yeah. There is a man. I'm drawing. It's not even fair. His name is Mike, and I've thanked him many times before, but I can't think of his last name off the top of my head. I should have written it down. But he makes YouTube videos for knife making, mm-hmm. and he makes that point very clear. Sell yourself, sell your personality as far as let people know who you are. Because if they like you and they – because there's probably 100 people who can laser engrave, you know, wood and leather. Mm-hmm. But what makes me different from them is the fact that maybe they like me and maybe they want to support me over some guy that they don't know or some corporation that they don't know. So – Mike, he mentions that a lot, is let people know who you are and sell yourself. So
you're doing the, it's laser engraving on the wood. You're doing a lot of comic-based stuff. Is that because you're a comic book fan at heart?
Well, I am a comic book fan. I'm not what I would call a diehard fan, where I haven't read like the entire run of X-Men like some people have. So I'm not going to claim that, but my wife and I bought the laser engraver together like 3 years ago, and engraving comic book art and covers and replicas, that's what really took off for us. So we did Comic-Con last year locally in Kansas City, and we had a booth there, a table there, and I did some welded art, some Star Wars sculptures, and then I did some wood engravings, and it went really well. We had a really good time and made decent money. This year, it's coming up in February, we have two tables, and we're doing more of everything, more sculptures, more wood, more leather, more books, more anything that I can make. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time. We get to hang out at the Comic-Con all weekend and make money and see everything that's going on. So it's like a big party for us.
Yeah, Comic-Cons are an absolute blast, man. I go to Lexicon every year in Lexington, Kentucky. And, we make the trip down there. This will be my third year going down there. And I'm a massive wrestling fan. And so they have a lot of wrestlers, you know, a lot of the Hall of Famer guys, and they all kind of show up there. And this year is Chuck Norris, Ric Flair, and Pauly Shore. And I'm like, if that's not an all-star lineup to make me get to Kentucky, I'm like, I don't know what else is. That's going to be so much fun.
They actually they're having Chuck Norris show up.
Chuck Norris is going to be there.
That is so badass.
I know.
I'm scared
man.
To shake his hand. I'm scared I might die.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited about that. But you're right. It is a really cool atmosphere, and you know, you really get to see, you know, I mean, it's craftsmanship, really, because you get a lot of people that are out there that, you know, make their own things, and they're selling it there at the Comic-Con, and just seeing some of the talent in some of the things, whether it be, you know, like the stuff that you do, or more into like, you know, creating even these costumes that these people are doing. It's absolutely amazing. And it all kind of, you know, goes together as far as just, you know, the want and need for craftsmanship that's out there. You know, people love stuff that's 100% handmade, and you know, you're doing that very, very well.
Thank you. I am all over the place. I mean, my tagline on my Instagram account is random acts of craftsmanship, because I really don't know where this is going to take me. Mm-hmm. You know, I really would like to someday support myself with my work in my shop, and I'm ramping up to get there. You know, we're going to form a company in 2018, actually get things incorporated, start taking this from a hobby perspective to more of a business perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm taking those steps, me and my wife, but I don't know. I'm branching out in all different areas, trying to stay diversified so that when something does hit big, maybe it's the videos that hit big, maybe it's YouTube content, maybe it's welding sculptures or knife making. You know, I dabbled in knife making before the new year. Who knows? So I just really enjoy making stuff, man. I really dig it.
I've knife making is something that I've really wanted to get into, man. I'm a huge fan of blacksmithing and just that entire subculture of metalwork, and it's something that has always been something that's I've been very, very drawn to, especially knife making. And I see guys out there like Alex Steele on YouTube who's just making, you know, all kinds of amazing axes and swords and knives and tools out of Damascus, and just it's the stuff that you're able to do when you're able to take metal from a raw form, melt it down, and shape it into whatever you want. It blows my mind how people are able to do that, man. It's so super attractive to me. It's something that I've made one of my goals in 2018 to actually do, you know, make my own forge, get a little bit of stock up, and just start, you know, getting out there and hammering away and seeing what I can make.
It's a lost art, and I'm glad to see people like Alex Steele, the UK's youngest blacksmith. He's bringing it back and he's making it mainstream, and that's good to see, man. That's real good.
Absolutely.
So I agree.
Now, I do like to kind of tap into everybody's journey to the arc, and how you said you've been welding for 8 years. Where did you kind of where were you in life when you found welding, or welding found you? How did that work?
I was a heavy car guy. Love cars. I didn't grow up in a car culture. I grew up in the Deep South, mm-hmm. in Alabama, but I always loved cars, and I wanted to build an autocross car. I loved German cars, so I wanted to build a street track race car. So I was gonna weld a roll cage, and I had a early Volkswagen Rabbit or Golf, they call it overseas, and I wanted to restore this car, and I knew I'd have to weld. So I bought a little Miller-Matic 140 with the auto set feature because I did not know how to set any of the settings. And my wife bought me two books for Father's Day on welding, and I took off. And I went to a local metal by the foot place, and I said, I need scrap. Will you please sell me a box of drops? And you know what? They gave me a 20-pound box of drops, all different sizes, all different shapes, all different thicknesses, you know, everything from 16th of an inch all the way up to, you know, half inch. And I burned through a spool of wire and a tank of gas just, you know, practicing and reading my book. And finally I got something that I thought this would hold, mm-hmm. you know. And then from there, it was just working on that car. I did that for like 5 years of blood, tears, and money went into that car. And finally I looked at the books on the car, and I was like, you know, I'm like 16 grand in this car, and to get it where I want to get it, I'm going to have another 16 in it. And when I'm done, it's going to be worth like $5,000. So I'm just going to stop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, so, man. Definitely.
I pulled the plug on that project, and that was my intro to welding, you know. And from that point on, I actually started welding. My welding was always for practical purposes, fix mm-hmm. this, build that, repair that. And I didn't actually start welding art and sculpture until about 4 years ago.
Okay. So did is welding strictly a hobbyist thing for you, or do you do it for your day job?
No, that's the thing. I feel like such a poser in the Instagram welding community. I'm genuinely honest with you. I see all these guys like, you know, all these guys. I talk to all my welding friends. They like do that. You know, they do it 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, and they rock at it, and they get so much hood time. And 100% of my hood time is in my spare time. I don't weld at all in my day job. So all my welding is in my spare time, which is good and bad. It's good that I've got titanium in the shop for knife making. I can get some rod and practice titanium, uh-huh. where a lot of guys during the day, they never touch copper or brass or titanium or stainless.
So
they're
true.
Stuck on whatever. I can bring in whatever I want in my shop and weld whatever I want and practice whatever I want. But in the same sense, I get probably 1% of the hood time that these really kick-ass welders get, you know.
Well, hey, I mean, you got the passion for it, man. It doesn't matter if you're doing it full-time or if you're doing it as a hobbyist. I mean, it's the fact that you're still getting the art time and you have the passion to actually do it, and not just do it, but teach yourself to do it well. You know, there's so many guys out there that just weld as a job. It's just a job. It's just, I just push wire and I get through and I get my 40, 50 hours a week and whatever, and that's it. And I don't want to touch welding. And it really, and you know, and depending on the type of setting that you're in, the type of job that you're in, you know, you can really get a serious distaste for the actual trade of welding. You know, if you're sitting there just doing production MIG work over and over and over and over, and you have a total asshole boss that's just spitting down your throat orders for 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, welding can totally be a completely different story for that guy versus the guy that does it in his shop on his spare time, or a guy that actually has like a little bit of a laid back and cleaner setting that he goes to every single day. You know, so it, I mean, it's out there, and it can be made into, the point that I'm trying to say is that welding can be made into what you want to make it. You know, it doesn't have to be this dark and dreary, you know, hell setting. It can actually be fun, educational, and profitable if you're doing it in the right way and you have the want to do it in the right way.
I completely agree. Yes. And I'm blessed in the fact that welding has not been spoiled for me by some terrible environment or terrible situation where I have to crank out hard parts in a dark, you know, dusty place for, you know, 10 hours a day. So mm-hmm. I'm very blessed in that regard. Another reason why I'm taking my welding so seriously and I'm trying to put in mindful practice is this. I'm a railroader, and I have been for 15 years. I'm a railroad conductor, and automation is happening nationwide with trucking and transportation and railroads. And I've got 22 years left before I can retire from the railroad.
Right.
I'm not 100% certain that my position will still be there in 22 years. And I'm back in school, and I'm studying to be a CNC machinist because I really enjoy precision machining, and I enjoy CAD and CAM, and I want to get better at that. And I'm also practicing welding on the side, because I would like to be able to, if I lost my job with the railroad or I had to find other employment, I'd like to be able to walk into a place and pass a weld test, or at least get close. And if I know that if I could pass a test, I could probably get a job somewhere. And that's important for me and my family. So it's a skill that I also want to hone and develop if in case I need it.
Man, I 100% agree with you. You know, personally, me, I've been a welder, you know, for 15 years. It's all I've done. Honestly, I've had a couple other jobs here and there doing other things, but nothing that paid as well as welding, or that I wanted to do as much as welding. But just as, you know, I'm sure other things are in the trades, nothing is guaranteed. 100%. Right. Nothing is guaranteed. So having as many feathers in your hat as you can, just to make sure that you make ends meet and provide for your family is absolutely number one. If you're just going to give it all to welding, like, yes, it is possible to make a great living your whole life as a welder, but there are times when there could be no jobs in your area and you have to go states and states away to continue to welding, or to continue to weld at the rate that you're used to, or take a massive pay cut doing something that doesn't require the certifications that you had, or is production instead of specialized welding. And, you know, personally for me, you know, I wake up every day and I'm looking at different things that I can get into that can help me in my trade. Like I'm looking heavily into getting my CDL just so that I have that, and I can, you know, drive a truck in the oil field if I needed to, and weld or whatever else, just something that helps me. And, you know, what you're saying with the CNC machinist, I mean, there's jobs out there like crazy for that right now. And that's a fantastic trade to get into, but you're not just narrowed to knowing how to do one thing. You really have to be a jack of all trades if you're going to be in the trade. You kind of have to know how to do a little bit of everything well enough to get a job doing it.
You're 100% correct. They've mentioned, many people have mentioned it before, that if you're just a welder and you can't read prints or fabricate a little bit, mm-hmm. like in those welding schools where they just teach you how to pass a weld test, like a 6G pipe test or whatever, you have no fabrication skills. So when you come into the work environment and they ask you, hey man, we need to fab up this, you know, this table or this whatever, and you can't. And you're right. You're 100% correct. You need to be able to do lots of different things, and not secretly, but I'm hoping that all of the welding and the machining and all that, I really would like to employ all that skill and knowledge in my private hobby and business. And hopefully I'll never have to use it. Like, I'll never have to go get a job as a welder to provide for my family. I'm hoping that I can work for myself, start turning out some really kick-ass stuff with welding and fabrication and machining. That's my ultimate goal, is to be my own boss. But, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Right. I mean, you're right, man. And I agree with you. That would be, to me, that just seems to be the most gratification you could get, is if you had your own shop. You get to do everything the entire step of the way. You get to cut this, you get to cut the material, you get to weld the material, you get to turn it or whatever you need to do it, machine it, and then you get to load it up on the truck and then drive it wherever you need to go and drop it off. And then, you know, you get to see the from start to finish whatever it was you're doing on the job, you know. And that's the gratification, you know what I'm saying? That's where you get to drive back with an empty truck. You're like, yes, I just completely did that. I got paid, and I did it the 100% every step of the way.
Yeah, you also would have control over the whole process, and if you're trying to reach a high level of quality, you could achieve that yourself, doing it yourself, doing it right. But I know that there's also limitations to that. You start getting into some big jobs, and where one man can only do so much work, so right. Eventually, it'd be a good problem to have, where you have to either farm some stuff out or maybe bring on extra help or, you know, buy equipment to speed things along. That's a good problem to have one day.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I completely agree, man. So what's on the list for you next? What project are you working on next that you're getting ready to start?
Well, Planet Comic-Con is the 15th. It's in the middle of February, and I am gearing up for that. I've got prints that I've made to weld a standard TIE fighter. I'm going to weld some other ships and crafts for this thing, and then everything builds up to that. We're trying to hit this really hard this year, and then after that, I'm going to switch over to TIG. I'm going to probably TIG a really nice welding cart for my TIG machine and the cooler. I'm going to take that belt grinder that I built last year for knife making, and I'm going to take it apart and make some improvements. So I'm going to redo that with TIG welding 2.0. I've got some improvements for that. So shop improvements, learning, you know, practicing more with my TIG machine. And I'd like to get back into knife making. I think I really enjoy that aspect. So, and like one thing, the only problem I have with my art now is a knife is a usable piece of art. You can make a beautiful knife that is an expression of your craftsmanship and your art, and it's usable, functional, right. as a purpose. My sculptures, my Star Wars sculptures, or my plaques for the wall, they're just art. They just hang on the wall or they sit on a bookcase, and they're very nice. But I would much rather make a product that's gorgeous and you love having it, and it's useful. That's where I'd like to be, you know.
Very cool, man. Jason, thank you so very much, man. I appreciate you taking the time to come back on the show. It was awesome to talk to you. And, you know, you're a brother of mine in TIG Unit. I love seeing what you're putting out and, you know, this little group that we have and what we're doing to give back to the Instagram community. And I couldn't be happier to be in that with you, my friend. And again, thanks a lot. And I look forward to seeing what you're doing in the future.
Well, I really appreciate you inviting me back on. It's been a pleasure and an honor being on your show. And it is enjoyable. TIG Unit's a lot of fun. So hopefully we're all going to have a wonderful 2018.
Hell yeah, man. All right, man. You take care. Have a great one.
All right. You too.
All right, everybody, that's it for this week. Thank you so very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Jason Hurst. If you would like to email the show, feel free, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Also, if you are an Apple iTunes listener, please hit subscribe and leave a review. Your reviews help the show gain further up on the ranks and help the show ultimately reach more people. Thank you all very much for listening and your support. And until next week, work safe and weld hard.